IVM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Sponge Podcast. As always, I'm with Ambi Parmeshwaran. Today, we're going to be talking about chapter 19 of his great book, Sponge, Leadership Lessons I Learned from My Client. The chapter is called An Apple a Day. An apple a day keeps the doctor away, Ambi.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that there must be something. Let's get into what we were talking about in this episode, right? I think the first thing. The first thing I wanted to ask you about is Vinita Bali. You clearly admire her a lot when you're talking about this. Vinita was at the time a deputy marketing manager at Cadbury, I think.
Yeah. So she was, I think, a group product manager, at Cadbury. This is in 1980.
Okay.
And I was a young account executive at Rediffusion Advertising, and we had won the account to work. You know, they were launching a new product, and that's when I met her first, and we worked on the launch campaign over 2 years, a year and a half. And on and off, I've been in touch with her, but you know, I didn't get the chance of working with her after that. But she would probably be one of those, rare women MBAs who have actually roughed it out in the sales and marketing job, and went on, had a great career after Cadbury. I think she got picked by Coca-Cola, went to Atlanta, worked in Atlanta, and then she came back to head Britannia as the managing director. So she had a great career, and I think she's somewhat like a woman executive icon, so to speak, because those days there were very few women managers in marketing. Of course, there were quite a few in areas like finance and HR, but marketing, especially the sales side, you don't see too many women. So I think she's one of those people I had the good fortune of working with, and that's my experience working with her, and what we did at the launch is what is there in this chapter.
So how did, I will come back to Vinita a little later in the conversation, but I wanted to ask you, what was it like launching a product at that time, right? Because today you want to launch a product, and you're doing a certain amount of internet research and you have stuff available at your fingertips. But back then you actually had to do stuff the hard way. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. Nowadays you ask anyone a question, the first thing you do is go onto the internet and do a Google search, and then you put the stuff onto spreadsheet and make a PPT and go and present stuff, things are not like that then. So we had to do the hard work. So one had to actually look at all the ads of all the brands, do some real analysis with some calculators, okay? And those days, we didn't have laptops, we didn't have computers. So you actually had to do analysis on paper and pen.
So you used to, the word foolscap or double foolscap, which I think I'm somewhat aware of, but I'm sure our younger listeners have never even heard the word foolscap.
So, those days you didn't have spreadsheets. You didn't have, Microsoft Excel or whatever. So you actually had to buy large paper. Okay, and these were called foolscap for some strange reason. All of us used to call it foolscap. And they were available in, let's say today, what you call legal size, roughly 2 to 3 times the legal size.
Right.
And that's what's called a double foolscap. So you buy a double foolscap paper, which already comes with the horizontal lines. So the rows are there today, so to speak, rows are there.
Right.
So you draw the columns out and then you start filling it up. So So one had to do a lot of that kind of analysis. So I did analysis of all the soft drinks in the country. I also did analysis of, things like squashes. Kisan was a big brand. Then there was Rasna, which was a soft drink concentrate. So I analyzed all these, saying what do they contain? What is the cost per glass of each of these? What kind of claim are they making in their advertising? What kind of taste do they offer? What kind of flavors they offer? So it turned out to be something like 20 brands to be analyzed across 20 different attributes. So that turned out to be a pretty impressive piece of paper.
Right.
Finally.
I would think so. Actually trying to do that by hand. Just the mechanics of doing it seems like it's an impressive achievement. Forget the actual data inside it.
Yeah, no, so first you have to collect the data, yeah. right? And then you have to think of how are you going to put it together.
So how do you collect that data, right? Like, I mean, like you're talking about a pre-internet era, right? If you need to get all of the thumbs up ads from like the last year, how do you find that?
You go beg, borrow, steal, go to a filmmaker, say, you know, share us the reel and then go and look at the reel. These were actually... Around those days, I think we did not even have VHS tapes.
Yeah.
So you literally had to go to, borrow these reels from filmmakers okay. and, you know, play it and watch it. Right. Packs, you had to buy all the packs.
Okay.
And then go through the pack copy and analyze the pack copy. So it was a lot of, account executives are there for that, right?
Grease monkey. Basically the grease monkey business,
yeah, so
right?
You do hours and hours of work and put it together. But the nice thing is, in this case, when I finally went and presented this to the client, and then Vinita and her boss, Deepak Shori, they were very, very, very complimentary about the work done by the agency and the agency team and, you know, in fact, they took a copy of whatever I had done. So that was nice to get that, you know.
You mentioned something which, I mean, like we didn't really want to get into it deeply, but I thought it makes sense to bring up a little bit over here. You had mentioned the idea that how companies have to look at resources as external as well as results as external, right? Can you kind of expand on that?
Yeah, okay. So, you know, what happened was we were launching this new product called Cadbury Appella, which is really made with fruit juice, which the plant, I think, was set up in Himachal Pradesh or somewhere like that. And so we were doing, the client commissioned the research agency to do a lot of research. So there was something like 4 cities, we had to do taste trials where we bring in customers into a central location, give them a glass to drink, get their feedback, etc., etc. So what was nice was that Vinita said, look, why don't you go to all the centers and sit in on the research? Now, I mean, you know, the client then picks up the tab, like client pays the airfare, client pays everything. So I was actually quite, cuffed that, you know, she... decided to offer this. And so in a sense, what she did was to kind of induct me into their team. So I became the virtual team. I went to all the cities, sat in on all the group discussions and the interviews, and I became the extended arm of Cadbury at that time. Now, that's a great, principle to adopt, that, you know, you start using your partners and help them make you stronger and better, which is what I think she did, and very effectively. That was very good.
That's interesting. You know, so, I mean, like, since we've come back to Vinita, let me ask you a little bit about this, right? You're talking about the 1980s, and the early 80s, right? So from a gender diversity perspective, that was probably not the greatest time, right? So, I mean, do you think there is something to be said for her ability to persist in atmosphere like that? I mean, like, does that...
You know, I think we've come a long way today. Those days, you don't get to see too many marketing managers who are women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and those things have dramatically changed today.
Right.
But, you know, since I was in an agency later and we're part of FC Buulka, and we realized that we hire a lot of women from the business schools, but they, because of our whatever sociocultural setting or whatever, they get married and they then kind of drop out of the system.
Right.
So we felt that we need to do something about it. And I think we created the concept of, okay, you can go on a long maternity leave. But then when you come back from maternity leave, you could actually work, you know, maybe 3 days, 3 half days
right.
a week. And then the 3 half days a week then becomes half day, you know,
right, right.
The whole week, and then it becomes full day. So we've had some really very, very bright women who've started working, and then to have the baby, they take a break, and then they come into flexi timing, and then they finally become full time, and they've done very well. Unfortunately, I don't think too many, I think we used to do that, FC Buulka used to practice this, and I think the market research agencies, MARC and IMRB, I remember they had a practice like this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, big corporates never could understand this, which is why they will hire women who will then drop out of the system,
right.
So Tata's, in fact, about 10 years ago, started a concept of bringing them back. You know, they said, you know, bring them back for a second career.
Right.
And that was an interesting experiment. But the point is, we today, if you look at it, at the board level, there are not, you know, too many, except you take banking industry, and maybe you need to thank ICICI for having created so many, you know, senior bankers, right. And of course, PSU banks. But otherwise, you don't see too many women directors, and that's a crying shame. So I think Vinita was unique, and I think, of course, there have been other very successful women managers in India. We've had Rama Bijapurkar, who's talked about some of them, you know, Rama, one of India's leading market consultants, or, you know, our own, my ex-colleague, Richa Arora, who's CMO of Tata Chemicals now, Nandini Dias, who runs Lodestar, or, you know, Apura Purohit, who runs Daily Jag. They were all ex-FCB Ulka, and they've done, fortunately, they've done brilliantly well.
So you are, so from what I'm getting from what you said right now, you feel that the fact that you have a very liberal maternal policy or maternity leave policy leads to the fact that women are more comfortable coming back to work, they can come back at their own pace, and lets them move into senior positions quicker than they would in other situations. Is that?
No, I think women know that when they take a break for having a baby, they may miss out on a bit on the career track. But, you know, once you put in 15 years, after that, you know, this...
It's all the same.
It's all the same, yeah. Right? So they come back in a flexi working time, and right. then they catch up. I mean, they actually overtake people who their peers, because right. some of them are really very good. And interestingly, I mean, it's a trivia, people may not know, but the first company in the world to offer maternity, paid maternity leave was an Indian company.
Okay.
To start a steel at Jamshedpur.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The first company in the world.
That is right. something I had no idea about.
Yeah. So I think we need more women, and we need, you know, Company Act has now said that you need to have at least one independent director on every board, which I think is good. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this will bring in, because in India we have a very strange situation. You have probably 18 or 19% or 20% of Indian women are working. Mm. But if you come into the top, you know, higher socioeconomic class, right. which is CCA and B, which we call, the number drops actually. You know, it drops to 13-14%. So most women are working are, a larger number of women are working in the lower economic class.
Right.
And they're working for only one simple reason. They need a salary.
They need the money.
They need the money to pay the, you know, to pay for the tuition.
Not about...
not at all.
Career and aspiration in that sense.
That should change. Hopefully it will change in the next 2 decades, definitely, if not earlier.
Interesting. Okay, so you know what? Before we end, I want to take a slight U-turn. I want to go back to your Appella campaign. In the course of that, so again, I'm going to read from your book, or not read from your book, but I'm going to talk about what you mentioned over there. You said the campaign started with nicknames for 5 people who were at the center of the campaign. And then you said you told the story of your nickname, Ambi. But you just said you tell the story of your nickname Ambi. You never told the story of your nickname, Ambi.
But that's the story of my nickname, Ambi.
So right? What is the story of your nickname, Ambi?
There's no story. You know, I'm called Ambi. For some strange reason, in school, that name started.
Okay.
And from school, some guys came with me to IIT. They carried the name. And then from the IIT... It just continued.
There's no
mysterious story behind it. Ambi just means elder brother.
Okay.
You know, in Kerala especially, they called, you know, elder brothers are called Ambi. And so there's no, it's not an acronym for anything. There is no negative thing about it. If you thought I'm hiding something behind the name Ambi, no, I am not. Okay. So in Kerala, it's a very common thing. Every house has one Ambi Mama.
Oh, right? Okay, all right.
So he's the elder brother. He's, you know, so that's the kind of stuff. So, so Appella campaign was a great campaign.
Okay.
I really enjoyed working on it. We created kind of limericks using, you know, nicknames of people.
Right, right.
I still remember there were some funny names we gave to people, and we wrote nice songs around them.
Okay.
And the campaign was a big success. It won and on went on to win the Campaign of the Year award.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the product bombed. Okay.
Remember it. I mean, like I do remember it from back then.
You were in school, or you were in kindergarten.
I was in school. I think. I think I just moved back to India, and the choices were Gold Coin apple juice or Appella. And Appella was somewhat fizzy, right? It was a little fizzy.
No, it was actually it was sold in a bottle.
Okay.
With a crown cap, but it didn't have any carbonation.
It was not fizzy.
These are the tricks we missed. Probably it should have had some fizz. Okay. It didn't have any fizz. Maybe the packaging should have been Tetra Pak. They missed a lot of tricks on that, and their objectives were they wanted to become half or one third the size of Thumbs Up, which is not going to happen.
Which is going to be a while. Fruit juice is never really going to take over a cola to that degree. Yeah.
So it didn't succeed, but the campaign was a big success.
I
thoroughly enjoyed working on the campaign and creating the campaign. Right. Though by the time the campaign went on to air, I had moved on from Rediffusion.
Right. You mentioned that in the book as well.
Yeah, but it was great fun working on the campaign, FMCG product. Great fun working with someone like, you know, Vinita Bali. Right. So that's what is all there in the chapter.
Awesome. Okay, so I think that's a great place to end. We'll be back next week with chapter 20, A Giant Learns to Dance. That sounds like fun. Yeah,
thank you.